I'm ready for this March Madness. I'm ready for our super informed, definitely really informed opinions.
Me too. It's gonna be great.
I can't believe we signed ourselves up to play 32 games.
Dude, what did we do?
I blame you for this.
I also blame me for this.
In the most fun way possible, you have been entirely blamed.
Yes. Yes, correct. Okay, ready?
Yeah, let's do it. Bridget.
And I'm Maddie. Welcome to Batty Breakdowns, where we hang out, have fun, and play games all the way to the end, asterisks where applicable. Today, we are going to do the first round of our March Madness live service game extravaganza.
You're still using extravaganza, I see.
Extravaganza. I kind of feel like I have aged myself insanely by using that word. I don't know if
do young people not use the word extravaganza?
I don't know. It just feels very like millennial cringe of me to utilize that word. But
I mean, you're probably right. But I don't know what the right word would be. What would the right word be?
I don't know either. I don't know either. Okay. So today we're not going to give you any breakdowns about the creation or the critical reception for these games. We're really just taking you on a journey as we played 16 games over the past 2 weeks. We are going to talk about kind of the matchups that we did, the games that we picked, and out of the games that we picked, which ones we liked the best, ultimately leading to one half of our March Madness bracket. And then the next episode, we'll finish the other half of the 16 games and get to the final two and then decide who is the winner and who is the best live service game. Now you might be saying, Maddie, what's the definition of live service game? And
good
I will
question.
Tell you, that is a wonderful question.
And
I can't answer it, but we did try to make it like almost everything is free. Mm-hmm. And we also tried to focus on games that were co-op. And then we wanted to go for some different genres. We kind of left off a few of the metaverse,
like Roblox. Yeah.
Like Roblox and Minecraft, really just those two, only because it felt like those two were a little bit of outliers and didn't quite fit with the rest of the matchups. So, The other disclaimer. Bridget and I have not played most of these games before. We're Mm-mm. probably going to have incorrect opinions if you really
totally.
Like some of these games.
Yes.
So, keep that in mind as we ignorantly chat about our experience
about while
your
playing. Favorite game that you put 3,000 hours into. So sorry.
Yeah.
So sorry.
All right. Oh, last thing. Before we get started, we are going to have a little off/on topic because we went to the Stardew Valley Symphony concert. And
yes.
I think it would be fun for us to talk about it a little bit.
I would love to tell that story.
Okay.
Okay.
Here we go. We did the setup. Okay, I'm going to quickly go through all of the matchups that we're going to talk about today.
Yeah.
And then we'll just start one by one, but just to give at the top a summary of it. So the matchups are Fortnite v. Apex, Fall Guys versus Stumble Guys, Phasmophobia versus Lethal Company, League of Legends versus Dota, WoW versus Final Fantasy 14 online, Genshin versus Honkai Star Rail, right?
Mm-hmm.
Call of Duty versus Halo Infinite, and Counter-Strike versus Valorant. And mm-hmm. Counter-Strike is previously known as Counter-Strike Go, but is now Counter-Strike 2. So, just a little note there.
Yeah.
Cool. Those are all of our matchups. We actually put some thought into these matchups, which you can probably tell after I've read those out.
I feel like we did a good job. I've actually been
I really genuinely, after playing these, like, I felt like we did a really good job matching these up. And I'm excited to dig in.
Let's do it. Fortnite, Apex.
Fortnite versus Apex. Let's chat. So, Bridget, I have played both of these before, but this was the first time you had played these.
It's true.
So I want to hear what your thoughts were and first impressions of both of these games.
So this is going to be the first in a set of patterns where I complain about how terrible the onboarding experience is for new people.
Yes.
Yeah. For almost every single game that I played here, there was a moment of me being mad that I had no idea what I was doing and just being thrown into it. So I will just caveat with that. We played Fortnite and Apex actually live on stream, which was really fun.
Yes, we did. That was fun.
On Twitch.
We had four listeners.
That's right. To the four of you. Thank you. Appreciate it. Apex was, in my opinion, it felt a lot more serious. It also, like, while we played, I got stuck in this really weird mode where they wouldn't let me out of these, like, practice test matches, even though we played multiple of them, so many of them.
Yeah.
It was exhausting. It wouldn't let me out. And at some point, like in these practice matches, you literally couldn't find people. Literally, you just wonder. I just ran around for like a whatever period of time. And for Fortnite, instead, they dropped us right into a game. I got to play real things. We didn't play with build mode on, so I do feel like we should mention that for folks.
Yeah.
So, like, I had played Fortnite one match years ago, like, absolutely years ago, and quit because I couldn't figure out how to do, like, the building. And with us not playing the build mode, it actually was a lot easier for me to pick up and understand. So, overall, I think I liked Fortnite significantly better. I really like the look of it a lot more. I don't really like how serious and, like, gritty Apex kind of felt. A lot of these, you'll see me saying, which ones would I be excited to go back and, like, play again? And there was a few days later after we had played, and I was like, I kind of want to play more Fortnite. And
yeah, you do.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, so, I mean, obviously, I feel the same way. I'm a Fortnite girly. I play it a lot. I agree with you. Apex is more...
Felt serious.
Serious. I also think that Apex is more complex. Like, if you are looking for something that's more, like, using your brain a little bit more, like, if I'm being totally honest, like, there's different ammo types that you have to keep track of. Different characters have different, like, powers.
Yeah.
So I will just say that for me, like, I'm not looking for that complexity, which is why I lean Fortnite. But I can totally get how someone could prefer Apex because there is that, it feels like there's that additional strategy of, like, what character do I pick?
Yeah.
And then, like, kind of the ammo and equipment management is a lot more complex in Apex. So Fortnite, I love. It's so easy to jump into. I like that the skins are just
skins. Yeah, they're so cute. Yours were so cute. Mine were terrible, but yours are cute.
Okay, I will say that the one thing that Fortnite does not do well is, like, new player skins. Like, that was super sad. You couldn't even pick a base character.
No.
You just got a random one assigned to you, and I totally forgot that that was the case, and that's pretty sad.
It was very depressing. Even though I had other cute stuff from, I had listened to the concerts that they had in the pandemic, and so I had, like, a fun little glider that played music. I had that, but then I didn't have a character. I don't know.
The actual character. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just really enjoy how friendly Fortnite is to new users, and especially with the zero build mode.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's, for me, yeah. I knew I was going to pick Fortnite because I'd played both of them before, but yeah.
Yeah.
I feel pretty confident.
I wasn't sure because I had never vibed really with Fortnite, but I was happy with Fortnite. I'd play it again. I'd do it again. Yeah.
Yeah. The next season is supposedly Greek mythology based.
I do,
which
love
is my shit.
Mythology.
So I am probably going to get back into it and do the battle pass and everything. I've skipped the battle pass the past couple of seasons because I haven't been able to make it to level 100, but I might have next season be like a Fortnite season for me and get the battle pass.
Okay. Maybe I'll play with you some.
Yeah. Okay. Ready to move on?
Fall Guys, Stumble Guys.
Fall Guys versus Stumble Guys. So we also played this one together on stream, which was really fun. I hadn't played Fall Guys in a long, long time because I had this awful experience where, I'm being really dramatic, I played Fall Guys when it originally came out on the PlayStation, like years and years ago, and I had bought the game because at that point it was not free to play yet. Yeah. I had bought it. And so because you bought it, you weren't, there was no battle passes.
Yeah.
You bought it and then you were unlocking a bunch of skins as you played the game. And so I had unlocked a bunch of character cosmetics and stuff, and then they switched it to be free to play, and in the Switch, I couldn't connect it to my Epic account because they were also acquired by Epic, and when I had played it, they actually weren't an Epic company yet.
Oh.
Or it wasn't connected to your Epic account.
Yeah.
And so when it switched, it was connected to the PlayStation, not my Epic account. And so whenever I went to go try to do it with my Epic account, I thought I had lost all of my skins. Now, the good news is I logged back onto the PlayStation account that I had years ago, and I did find them.
Yay.
They're just not connected to my Epic account. They're connected to the PlayStation. So that's fine. They're there. So now I'm just playing on my PlayStation, and it's not my Epic account, which is a little bit of a bummer, but
yeah,
that's okay.
Yeah.
Anyways,
Fall Guys significantly worse since it went free to play. I stand by this. It's so much sadder. Like, I played and got so much stuff unlocked, and when we had played, I realized that in the unlocking tree, the only thing you got for free now were like colors. Like, yeah. Backgrounds of your label. You don't get, like, the fun hot dog outfits anymore unless you pay money.
I mean, that's why they want you to buy the battle pass.
Yeah. I know. It's just very upsetting. Very upsetting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it is really fun. I had a lot of fun playing Fall Guys with you. Like, it reminded me, because I hadn't played it in a while.
Yeah.
Because I kind of rage quit after that experience where I was like, ugh, I'm just not going to play this game anymore. And so playing it again with you is a ton of fun because I just forgot how goofy
it is.
And the music slaps. Like, the new music for the there's like a new theme in the maps that's kind of like spacey.
I don't know if I noticed that. I just like the cue music. The cue music is such a freaking bop. I just like, it's in my head like 50% of the time. It's so good.
Yeah, there's a space theme music, and it sounds like Fall Guys K-pop, and I really like it. It's really, really good. Yeah,
excellent.
It's really, really good. So I will say the Fall Guys music is great. It's so goofy. I love the little sounds. I thought it was a lot of fun, and it reminded me how much fun that game is. So yeah. I've actually been playing it since we played it.
It's fun. Like, I think it's even fun to play it, solo. Yeah. Like, it's still fun to play solo. Yeah. Yeah.
It might be more fun to play solo.
Are you saying that because I'm bad? Are you saying that because I'm bad, Betty?
No, I just don't like the way that they've done the teams. Like, it seems a little odd where it's like it takes the average between you and your partner.
I feel like there used to be a different mode, because I played with my friends a ton during the pandemic, like a ton. And we'd get really drunk and then play. It was really, really fun. It was a great time. Because you'd be, like, trying to run on the thing. And you could, like, you're just cracking up laughing how stupid you are. And, like, I don't know. It's really fun. But I vaguely remember one guy in our group made it to the last round almost every single time. And I almost never did. And we were playing together. Like, we were in the same game. So I feel like there's probably a mode in there somewhere that is just, like, you guys are always in the same session, but it's not, like, a squad. It's just, like, you're playing in the same group. I assume that exists in there somewhere because I remembered playing it. And I do like that a little bit more because then you can cheer on, like, your friend as they keep going.
Yeah. That's cute. That's very cute. All right, let's talk Stumble Guys. Okay, yikes. So Stumble Guys is just, it's literally, like, a freaking janky knockoff of Fall Guys, but I kind of love it.
I expected it. I expected that with the name Stumble Guys. Like,
yes. Like, I kind of love it. It's just a jankier version. And I think that there's, like, something, it reminds me, there's, like, heart in it. You can, like, tell, you know?
I couldn't tell.
It's goofy. It's fun. It's like, Yes, it's not as polished as Fall Guys, but
Maddie just likes it more because she won. She won Stumble Guys, and she couldn't win Fall Guys, so she likes Stumble Guys more.
Okay, why don't you give your impressions of Stumble Guys, and then we can
Stumble Guys the matchup was obviously janky, but I had anticipated janky. It wouldn't let us play together because it, like, we were cross-playing, I think, at the time. So cross-play didn't work, as an FYI. I was significantly less impressed with the smoothness of the controls, which I think matters so much when you're playing a stupid game like that. And I don't think I will ever pick it up again.
All right. Let's call it Fall Guys, everyone. Let's move on.
Maddie already threatened me to pick Stumble Guys.
No, we all knew it was going to be Fall Guys, but Stumble Guys is a good try.
I think you have a very valid point in that Fall Guys has people who play it pretty frequently and are very good at the different levels. There are a lot of new levels that come out frequently. And so we kept messing up in the first couple of rounds, and it was really, really hard to get to the final round. Whereas in Stumble Guys, you got to the final round every single freaking time. So, I mean, there is something to be said for that. If you find Fall Guys too hard, Stumble Guys is like the same thing and still a lot of fun. And it's a little chiller. So,
yeah. Okay. Phasmophobia versus Lethal Company. We played these together too with our partners, which was a lot of fun.
It was really fun.
These are the only non-free games on our list, actually. I think out of all of the games on the list. And the reason we wanted to include them, one, they're very cheap. They're like $10 per. Yeah. Two, it's like a horror co-op genre that I think is a fun genre to include in this like live service matchup just because they're not very common.
Yeah.
But, or at least like ones that are
frequently updated.
Yeah, yeah, frequently updated or not very common. But Phasmophobia and Lethal Company are both like frequently updated, invested in, and have a big community around them. And so I thought it would be really fun for us to play these. And it was really fun to play these.
It was really fun. I almost died multiple times, but it was still a good time.
We also streamed this one, and it was really funny. So I will quickly go over the premise of Phasmophobia and Lethal Company, because I think they're probably the most unknown, or some of the most unknown on our lists. But Phasmophobia is essentially a co-op horror game where you and your friends are trying to figure out what kind of ghost is haunting the location that you're in. So there's pieces of evidence that you gather, like if it talks to you, if there's freezing temperatures, that all point to like what type of ghost it is. And it could be like, example, like a demon or a raiju or whatever. There's like lots of different ghost types. During the game, as time moves on, the ghost gets angrier and angrier that you're in their space, and it can kill you. Like it can attack you.
It will kill you.
And it will kill you.
Very and violently, at graphically.
At one point, we were, yes, and it's really spooky. It can actually be really spooky because oftentimes you can't see the ghost, and the only time that you see them is when they're about to kill you.
Yes.
And so it's kind of a little spook moment where you're like, you like turn and all of a sudden, boom. So there was a moment where I was trying to like run back into the house to get one more piece of evidence. And I ran in the house and I immediately got killed by the ghost because it was like, nope, immediate. I don't want you here. And Bridget did not quite know yet that it was right by the front door. And so I was like, okay, I'm dead. Good luck, y'all. And my partner had also died at that point, too. And I think Chris had also died.
Chris was still alive. I was the third one in, I think.
Yeah. So We were, our literal dead bodies were just chilling by the
piled
front door.
Piled up by the front door.
And I was watching the stream because Bridget was streaming from her computer and I wanted to see what she was seeing. And I watched the stream and she opens the door and walks in. And then the ghost appears at the top of the stairs and then crawls towards her. Honestly, and Bridget's face got so scared. I had never seen you so scared in my life.
Honestly.
You were and killed you and you were like so. It was hilarious.
I will say.
I felt bad.
That is not the most scared I've ever been. That was like medium scared for me. There was, so I had played Phasmophobia one other time with my brother on your recommendation from a little while ago when it was in its earlier life. So I was like, me and my brother will play. Playing with two people is a mistake. I would like everyone to know this. Playing with two people is awful because you either both go in and no one's in the truck so you don't know what's going on, or you go in by yourself every time. And my little heart can't take it. And I didn't know what to expect. And in that one, literally at some point, I had this person like dash towards me and I screamed and I pulled off my headset so I wouldn't have to hear it. And I like chalked it across the room. And my brother's like, what are you doing?
So that's so funny.
Honestly, I'm so easily spooked and it definitely spooked me. It was very scary. Very scary. Yeah.
Okay, now Lethal Company. Do you want to explain the premise of Lethal Company?
Lethal Company, to me, was a lot more... I mean, it was still scary, don't get me wrong, but there's a little bit of exploration to it, too, because you are a company that is going to try and find scrap and then turn in the scrap for money, bounties, whatever. And you and your little team pick planets, and then you go and have to find the interior, like, buildings. Like, I don't know if you'd call them. What would you call them?
They're like warehouse factories.
They're not, like, houses. They're, like, a big, like, windy maze labyrinth-like interior buildings built inside of these, like, alien mountains, right? And then the planets themselves, some of them have lightning and some of them have bees with giant monsters that will like pop out of the sand. And your whole goal is you and your team find this scrap, pick equipment, and hopefully make it back to your ship by the time that like the day ends. Otherwise, the ship leaves without you. I had never heard of this before. You were like, let's put it on the list. I really liked it. I thought it was so fun.
Yeah. I will say, I think it was a little bit harder to learn. I don't know. Do you agree with that?
Phasmophobia, I understood the concept of really quickly, but I still don't know how to play it. Even now, after the few times that I played, because each piece of equipment that you have to fish out the ghost had to be used in a very specific way.
That's true.
But I knew what I was supposed to be doing. I just don't think I was doing it right. With Lethal Company, there was really only so much you needed to do. Like, you went, you scanned, you found scraps, until we realized after playing for a little bit that there's a whole suite of stuff that you can do from inside the ship. And that, to me, I think is definitely way harder.
Yeah. Like, I think we just didn't quite grasp it. And I think we need another play session to, like, fully grasp it.
Yeah.
I just resisted the urge to do a SpongeBob quote right there of firmly grasp it. But... firmly grasped. So I think that for me, like, Lethal Company is a little bit harder for me to pick up. The fun thing on the flip side is I think one of the key pieces about Lethal Company that makes it really fun as a co-op game is when you die, your mic gets cut off.
It was so funny.
So you're like potentially in the middle of just like chatting with your friends and then all of a sudden the mic gets cut off.
Yes.
And you're like, DK or Bridget? Like, there are you there?
There were a few times, Maddie. One time, Maddie just disappeared into a pit and we can't hear anymore.
I accidentally fell into a hole and I couldn't say I fell into a hole because my mic got cut off because I fucking died.
And so we're like, where is she? I guess we abandoned her. And then there was a time where, like, if you send people back to put stuff right into the truck, or sorry, into the spaceship, you'll eventually get a notification on your screen that, like, a thing got deposited. So you know when your, like, teammates have not made it back, when it's been a long time and you haven't got the notification. But there was one time it was so horrifying. So this one's a scary one too. There are monsters inside of these interior buildings, and they are creepy. And there was a time Maddie jumped to her death. I just looked at her dead body laying on the ground. I've got her partner DK, who maybe got eaten by a monster, we're not sure. My partner Chris goes back to go save DK.
Oh, I will also say the other thing that can, like, add complications to this is that monsters are attracted to sound.
So, yes.
Like, the other thing is you don't want to say something. So sometimes you're like, hello, you're
just
hello.
Yeah. And you're just standing there in silence, like, I'm wondering what's going on. And that one was probably the worst one because I didn't know if anyone's alive or dead because I was so far away from everyone else. I figured it out because the spooky ass monster then spooked me. I was like, that is not Chris.
That one was also quite good because it was Bridget again by herself. And she and I was watching the stream because I had died. And I had accidentally fallen into a pit. And
again,
DK had died. And Chris had died. So literally everyone had died. And Bridget is, like, walking around by herself, not knowing if anyone is alive still. And then she's, like, looking at something. She turns. She looks back. And the monster was just there.
Right there. It was horrifying. Oh, my gosh.
So Bridget definitely got the most spooks.
I feel like for me, and I know this is one that we're going to go back and forth on, so I know we're going to have to pick. I know it. I think I had more fun, like, more shenanigans could occur with Lethal Company. Like, Chris attempted to steal a beehive and then attracted bees inside of our thing. Like, that was so funny. And
then it was just like we all... So what happened is Chris stole a beehive because they're worth a lot of money. And we had a quota that we had to hit. And if you don't hit your quota, you get killed.
You die.
Like, the company kills you. They're like, sorry, you're bad at your job. We're going to murder you now. And then he, like, took the beehive and ran into the ship with the beehive. But the bees were also in there. And so then what happened is he died getting stung by bees in the ship. And then none of us could go in the ship because it was full of bees. It was full of bees. And we have to take off at the end of the day to get our money. And so we were like, the three of us are standing outside and we were like, okay, here's the plan. We're going to run in and we're just going to try to get to the ship's controls. As fast as we can to see if we can get this ship to take off before we all die of bee stings. But literally none of us were able to make it to the ship controls.
It was
a
travesty.
The bees killed us that fast.
It was awful.
I had a lot of fun with Lethal Company too, but I do prefer Phasmophobia. I think it's a preference thing.
Yeah.
I also think that for me, like, Phasmophobia, like, is maybe, like, a little bit more thought out, but I don't know if that's true because I feel like, to be fair to Lethal Company, I didn't play it long enough to fully grasp what I was supposed to do. But for me, I felt like Phasmophobia had the better onboarding experience, I guess, or like,
I mean, Lethal Company, we didn't have a tutorial, we just got thrown into it.
Yeah. And like, at first, like, I didn't even know I was supposed to collect scraps, right? Like, we kind of were just like wandering around.
That's true.
Which is totally fine too. I think for me, the other thing that keeps me going back to Phasmophobia, because DK and I got a little bit addicted to it after we played it together, was just like the strategy piece of it and like the puzzle piece of it.
Yeah.
I think if you're able to get past the spooks, there's like a really interesting puzzle factor to it that I really enjoyed, where it was like, okay, we have this piece of evidence and this piece of evidence and the ghost is doing these behaviors. Which one do we think it is? And it's kind of like a puzzle. And I really enjoyed that about it versus Lethal Company is really goofy. It's really silly. You're kind of just running around.
But that's all it is.
But that's kind of what it is.
Yeah.
So that's my pitch for Phasmophobia. But I did have a lot of fun with Lethal Company. Honestly, I liked both of these games a lot more than a bunch of the other games that we played. So
vibe. I will secede. That's not the word. What's the word to give in to? Concede. There. I will concede to Phasmophobia because I did really like the, like, conceit of it. And I think near the end of that second play session, when I finally started understanding, like, oh, like freezing, it doesn't mean cold and you can see their breath. It means that, no, it literally needs to get the temperature below zero. Once we started to learn those things, it did feel a lot more. And we started getting things right and it felt a lot more like achievable. And so I would give it to Phasmophobia. I'm okay with that. But I would say that if you are easily spooked, I would stay in the truck. Be the truck person.
Be the truck person.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Next up, League of Legends and Dota.
Yes. Now, had you played either one of these before? These were both the first time for me. Okay.
These were also both the first time for me. So which one did you play first out of the two?
I played Dota 2 first, and then I played League.
I did too.
Oh, okay.
I did too.
Okay.
Also, after we played this, I was like, wow, we did a good matchup because these are the same
game. They were the same game with the same map. What was going on?
The same controls, too.
The same thing.
It's wild.
Literally the same thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I did. Okay. Here's the differences. I thought about this for a long time because I said that statement and I angered a few people on my team. Not actually angered. But Daniel on my team was like, oh my God, no, they're not. And I was like, okay, Daniel.
You're like, literally, okay.
Like, no, legit. They're the same freaking game. They have different characters, but the difference is I do think that Dota had the better tutorial experience.
Yes, 100%.
It had a really good, actually really wonderful onboarding experience.
Yes.
It did take forever, but they really walked you through it. And they had a series of videos and tutorials all about all the different things. And I thought that would, like, the new player experience was amazing, especially when you look at all of the rest of these. My God.
Yes.
There were some messes in there, but the new player experience for Dota I thought was really good. League of Legends just kind of dropped you into it. I don't know if I missed something. Okay.
I looked. So what was funny about this is we got the Dota onboarding and I was like, this is so nice. And Chris came in at some point in between me playing like League. So I'd already played Dota. And I told him, I was like, the only reason I knew how to play League was because I had just played Dota and got their tutorial. Otherwise, I would have had literally no idea what I was doing. And
he was like, that's so true.
And he was like, are you sure that you didn't get that backwards? Like, I always thought League was way easier as a player to learn. And I'm like, they didn't give me anything. And so I went back and looked around as much as I could. I don't know if I missed it. Maybe I did and people can point it out, but I really did look for it. It's not obvious if it is there. And literally the only way I made it through is because of Dota.
Yeah.
Otherwise I would have been lost. And,
okay, so the other difference is League of Legends had slightly more, like, I thought that using my character actions or, like, specials was a little bit easier in League of Legends because it's such a subtle difference in the controls, but, like, in Dota, if I'm remembering correctly, you have to push the key on the keyboard as well as click the mouse at the same time, like click it. Versus in League, you can push the thing and just like direct it with the mouse.
Yeah.
Do you see how that's like slightly different, but a little bit easier? Like instead of needing to click a second thing, I only had to direct with the mouse.
Yeah.
Which is like such a weird tiny, tiny thing. So I thought that was a little bit easier, but I was trying to think of like things that were good.
Yeah.
And I thought that Dota's store was more easy to understand.
Yes,
like the buying process.
Yeah.
But I picked Dota just because of that onboarding experience. And then the store seemed easier to like purchase items.
Yeah.
And I could see myself getting addicted to Dota versus when I was in League of Legends. I don't know why, but I felt both confused and bored.
Yeah.
Like, more bored.
I actually picked Dota also. Chris told me he thinks that I would actually like League more long term, which is an interesting thought. The thing that I did notice that I did like better about League was that the matches seemed like they were shorter. I don't know if that's actually typical or not, but on average, I think my Dota matches lasted about 15, 20 minutes longer than my League ones did. And I thought that the Dota matches that I played were a little long for me. Like, they landed at around, like, 45 minutes.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah,
they were longer than mine.
They were pretty long, and maybe it's because I got matched with a bunch of newbies, so we didn't know what we were doing, so maybe that's, like, not the typical thing. But then LOL was more along the lines of, like, 30 minutes for me.
Mm.
The thing that Chris said, so I'll say it, is that the, like, in the long term playing Dota, there's a lot of nonsensical things, I guess, that they do, and he thinks that overall the mechanics are a lot better balanced in League, is what he sees. And he was like, you probably wouldn't get that from playing for, you know, like a night playing it.
No. Yeah.
I thought that Dota was better. When I finished both of them, I want to play Dota again. Like, I didn't want to go to League. I wanted to keep playing Dota. And then when I finished the League game, I was like, I want to go back to Dota. So I think that Dota earned it for me. But I don't know, like, if I would go back and play both longer, if I would change my mind. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I feel the same way.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right. Dota.
Next matchup.
Bam.
Dota it is. WoW versus Final Fantasy 14.
Yeah. WoW versus Final Fantasy. How did you love these games, Maddie? You loved playing these games?
I have to admit, I forgot to play Final Fantasy 14. There were 16 games on this list, and I just totally blanked on it.
I'd say you had one job, but really we all had 16 jobs, so that sounds okay.
So that is my fault. I will take the L there. I did watch a video of gameplay, and like I watched it for like 15 minutes before we recorded this episode. So I have an opinion, but
so what I'm hearing is that my opinion matters more here because I actually played it. Is what I'm
It does matter more here.
Excellent. Yeah. So all
right, tell me your experience, because I had never played WoW or Final Fantasy, and I still haven't played Final Fantasy, but
okay. So I had played WoW a little bit a while back because Chris got super into it. And I remember I had a moment of like, I'll be a cool girl and I'll play WoW with you, because WoW was like sucking like all of his time. He's just constantly playing WoW. So I'm like, I'm going to play with you, so you have to spend time with me, even though like that's silly. He was sitting next to me on the couch, like whatever.
Yeah.
But I was like, I'll play WoW. And so I downloaded it. I played it. And I think I played it for maybe like a couple weeks, I think. Mm-hmm. And I never liked it really. I played both solo and in a party with Chris. So I did both and it was fine, but I didn't really care to keep going. And so at some point I was like, whatever, like I don't need to do this anymore. Final Fantasy, I hadn't played before, but my brother, we had talked about this on a different podcast. It was like a bajillion and a half hours. And so we've been playing video games more. So I was like, play Final Fantasy with me so that you can teach me how. And so I would say it was a pretty comparable experience because I had Chris teach me WoW and my brother teaching me Final Fantasy. So I had somebody on both sides. Final Fantasy for me, I liked so much more, if only because of how aesthetic it was. Maybe that's terrible. I'm so sorry, everyone who loves these games. WoW is ugly. It is like ugly, not in like a technique like way. Like it's a well designed game with like graphics that are just like very fire and brimstone and like, you know, all this kind of stuff. It's very like heavy, serious. And Final Fantasy was so cute. I get to play a cat girl. Are you kidding me? Yeah. I get to play a cat girl. She is so cute. My brother took me to like all the little houses. I told Maddie that there's a housing crisis in Final Fantasy, which is hilarious to me.
Yeah,
I
want
to tell you very briefly, just because it's so interesting. If you haven't played Final Fantasy, or you don't play it very much and aren't really aware, there is a limited number of houses that are available per server. And it's like 5,000 or 6,000 houses per server. You know how many people play Final Fantasy? It's ridiculous. And so some people did the math, like there's about half as many houses as there are players who could achievably get a house. And so like they have this whole lottery system that you have to do in order to do it. And like when people get it, they like really make their houses these spectacular things. We went to one that had like a nightclub underneath it. It was so fun. It was cool. And then people had museums.
I should play with y'all.
It was really fun. Yeah. And my brother got a house. And so he like proudly showed me his house. And we like went outside and sat in his little hot tub. I don't know. It was really, really fun. And so like the fact that I had this whole housing crisis, I don't know. It was cute. The actual gameplay to me was similar enough that I'm sure as you get into the late game, it's probably very, very different. So like ack on that, y'all. I played WoW for like 2 weeks and I played Final Fantasy for like 7 hours. So, but Final Fantasy for me just alone, like I play games for aesthetics. And if I want to play pretty much the same like style of game, I would have rather played Final Fantasy. So
I also picked Final Fantasy just based on the videos because of the literal same reason of like, oh, I like the look of it better and I like the setting of it better. Like, yeah, it interests me.
It was
more
cute. Yeah,
it's cute and I just like the setting better. I found WoW to be very overwhelming and like I didn't play it with anyone and I didn't have anyone to teach me or whatever. And so I kind of lost interest pretty quickly, to be honest. I was like, and I got why it was a thing, but like, I don't know. I was just kind of like, it seems like one of those things where you need friends to play it with.
Yeah, probably. I'd agree with that. I'd agree.
And you need the time.
Yeah.
Like you just need the time to sink into it. And it's not really something you can jump into and jump out of quickly. Like,
yeah, I'd agree with that.
Yeah. I like the Final Fantasy pick.
WoW did give us Leroy Jenkins, which is probably my favorite thing to reference of all time.
A fantastic. Fantastic.
Leroy Jenkins. It's amazing.
That is a great video. You're correct. It did do that.
Well, you can play Final Fantasy with me and my brother sometime. My brother plays it constantly, and he was so excited to have somebody to, like, play also, because, like, none of his friends play. And he's like, it's so much more fun when people play, so we can play.
Yeah, I would love that. Yeah. I would love that. Okay, Genshin and Honkai Star Rail.
Honkai Star Rail.
So this is the first time I've played both of them. Uh-huh. But you've played Genshin before. Is this the first time you played Honkai?
Yes. Yeah. So I put in many hours into Genshin. Never touched Honkai. Yeah.
Okay. I will just say my first impressions of Genshin, and then I want to hear your first impressions of Honkai. But my first impressions of Genshin were pretty good, actually, because it's freaking Breath of the Wild, and I like Breath of the Wild. It's like anime, mm-hmm. Breath of the Wild. I like anime. I like Breath of the Wild. It was a fun game.
Yeah.
I knew immediately how to play it. I mean, some of the dialogue was cheesy, and I did tell you, I was
it
like,
does not get better.
What's that character's name?
Paimon, I think.
Paimon?
Paimon? I don't know.
Ugh. She's awful. It's bad. I hate her. I texted Bridget, and I was like, when does she go away? And Bridget was like, oh, honey, never. And I was like, no! You've ruined such a good game.
And I think that was right after you mentioned how much you love the music. And I'm like, ooh, you're going to have to play it on mute forever. I'm so sorry.
The music is so nice. It's so sad that they have this like character that just floats around, speaks about themselves in the third person, and is a really high-pitched voice. Like, blah.
It's true. When you play on mute,
it's fine. I know it's like an anime
trope,
but yeah.
Yeah.
But I felt like I was so confused about why you liked it, because it's Breath of the Wild.
For me,
yeah,
Genshin is all about collecting the cute little monsters, and that is the only thing. I used to play another Monster Super League where I collected monsters, and then it got way too, like, pay to win.
Mm.
And I like that I can play Genshin without spending money and still get the cute characters that I want. You just have to save up. Like, you can't get every character when you play free to play.
Yeah.
But you can get your favorite ones, and they're all so cute. And just like a few months ago or a few weeks ago, I can't remember, I finally got the character that they finally made it. There's this one with like a little snake around his neck. And the very first time I played and met him, I was like, is that when a character, Chris, can I get him? Because Chris had played way longer before me. And he was like, oh, no, not yet. And then I magically logged on, and there he was. And then I got him in, like, 20 pulls.
Nice.
It was amazing. But no, it is literally just because of the characters. I speed click through all the dialogue. I've never read one piece of dialogue in that game. It's terrible. I'm so sorry. Every time I try to read it, cannot do it. I have it on autoplay sometimes, too, so it'll autoplay. And then I just tap in the area where you have to respond.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when you say, Bridget, I'm surprised you like this gameplay, it's because it's not really the gameplay as much as it's collecting the little people. So
yeah, I like that. Okay. Yeah. Tell me your first impressions of Honkai.
Honkai, I thought that it was just going to be reskinned Genshin. Like, I thought it was going to be the same thing.
Totally. It was very different.
It was very, very different. And I was not anticipating that, so it was a little surprising. I love the aesthetic. The aesthetic of it was, like, the cyberpunk, like, space-esque type of thing. I like that
also
a lot.
Had good music.
Yeah, the music was really good. Yeah. Still didn't like the voice acting, but that's fine. The actual gameplay of it, it was turn-based, and it's not an open world. It's, like, structured into, like, compartmentalized areas. And you can't jump. In an environment that literally it looks like you should be able to jump, you can't jump, which really bothers me because I know they have the technology because it looks identical in the UI to Genshin. So I'm like, I know you have the technology to make these little people jump. Give me jump. This one, the people were super cute. I had collected so many people so fast. I already have like 10 people. It's amazing. Would I probably pick this one up again? I would say yeah, probably, because I might as well just grind my dailies and keep getting more cute people. But I don't really like turn-based, and so I would I would pick up Genshin before I picked up Honkai, if only for that reason.
Yeah, I will say I thought the setting was way more interesting of Honkai. Like,
I totally agree. Yeah.
Setting, I thought that was more unique. So I will give it that. I was not expecting like Persona style turn-based gameplay. So that surprised me. Not in a bad way necessarily, because I think I like turn-based a little bit more than you.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree, like when I thought about which one do I want to play again, it's Genshin. Like, I don't know if I'm hooked enough in Honkai based on, but I kind of wanted to go back to Genshin after I stopped playing. So
yeah,
I'd give it to that.
I will say that I kind of wish now that Honkai was just a reskinned Genshin, because if it was space Genshin with cyberpunk aesthetic, I would have been all for it.
Cool.
It would have won. Yeah. It would have won. So
totally, totally. Yeah. All right. Call of Duty versus Halo Infinite.
Okay.
I've played both of these before, so I want you to give me your impressions.
Okay. This matchup surprised me the most.
Yeah.
It surprised me about myself the most because I had so much fun with both of these. I had so much fun.
Yay!
I played till like 3 a.m. last night because I was just having fun.
Which one?
That one was Halo. I played Call of Duty later. Yeah. I will say that Call of Duty felt significantly more chaotic than Halo did. Although Chris told me that the Call of Duty maps that I played, I kept getting stuck in the cargo levels very frequently. Mm-hmm. And he's like, that's the world's smallest map. And so every time you respawn, you get like stuck where everybody's already shooting at you.
Yeah.
But I love, like, I really liked both of them. Halo was a lot more chill and Call of Duty was a lot more hectic. No tutorial, really. And Halo had a really nice tutorial. But I think I'd probably go back to Call of Duty before I'd go back to Halo because the chaos was kind of fun. It kind of made me like, it made my heart race a little bit.
Whoa.
And I was like, ooh, do I get to like shoot a million things? Like, I don't know. It made me like, I felt alive, Maddie.
I felt alive. That's so interesting. Okay, so I have played Call of Duty before, and I think for me, the menu's a mess.
In Call of Duty?
Confusing. Yes. Like, the menu experience is
awful. No idea what I was doing. It was terrible. Absolutely
terrible. It's so bad. But the game is fun. I think for me, I like Halo better because I feel like Halo has, again, I'm not an expert in Call of Duty, and I played Call of Duty, like, the free one, which I think is Modern Warfare.
Mm-hmm.
Halo Infinite has a lot of different modes that I really like. So I think, like, I just have a lot of fun with Halo Infinite and the different modes. And I did have fun playing Call of Duty as well, but less fun. And it was a little bit more intense. Or I felt like I die a lot faster when I play Call of Duty. So I think it's a skill issue to repeat Dylan.
It's a skill issue. Oh my god. Just wait till we get to CSGO and Valorant.
I do think it's partially a skill issue. I think that Halo is a little bit more forgiving. So I picked Halo, but yeah.
I mean, obviously I really enjoyed Halo. I played that shit until 3 a.m. last night. Because it gives you a random mode every time you play two, you never really knew what to expect. It made it really, like, fun. The things that I had heard that were bad about Halo were more along the lines of, like, their battle pass, whatever version of it, was very mediocre. But when I played yesterday, I got cool cyberpunk outfits. I am neon pink right now. I look so cute. And I have a little Women's History Month, like, little badge icon thing. So, like, maybe it was bad and they made it better. Or maybe I have very low expectations. But I did really like that. And I will say that the military aesthetic is not my vibe. Like, I didn't like that as much.
With Call of Duty or with both of them?
With Call of Duty, like the very military vibe.
Yeah.
But I think Call of Duty does have a bunch of the different types of matches too. They're just harder to find in the terrible UI. Like, they have things like Prop Hunt, which I think is really, really fun. I never played, but I've watched streamers play it. It's so cool. You like your hidden props, right? And I don't know. Very fun. I think I would be okay giving it to Halo, although I would like it noted that I would probably play both. Like, I really liked both of the games. I really had a lot of fun.
I like giving it to Halo for the simple UI, just because. Last matchup, CSGO and Valorant.
Okay, Maddie, give us your opinions.
So, Valorant, I've played a lot of. I got really addicted to it for a second.
I don't think I knew that. I just knew that you had played it.
Yeah. Yeah. I got addicted to it for like a month. And then I was like, I gotta stop. Played a match for this podcast to refresh my memory.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a strategy shooter, which I had never played. So I played Valorant first, right? Mm-hmm. But I never really played anything like this where you're like on a team. It's not a running gun. Like, you're not shooting and running. You have to stay still and shoot. And I like all the different characters in Valorant a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And all the different, like, types of powers that you can have or skills or whatever you want to call that. And I like the aesthetic a lot of Valorant.
It's cute.
And I think it was a really cool mix of combat and using your brain. Because there's a couple of times in Valorant that I played where I think sometimes because I'm a lower level, I was put in lower level maps where people would forget to do the objective and I would like sneak up and do the objective and like win the game. And it was really fun for me. Because it's like, I think in some of those like early maps, like all you have to do is use your brain and then you can win a couple, which was really fun for me. CSGO, I also didn't play. I was in line to stream it on GeoForce Now. It was the last thing that I had to play. Because at the time, I forgot that I didn't remember Final Fantasy 14. But I was like, okay, CSGO is my last game that I need to play. It's too late to download it because we're trying to record this podcast because I'm going out of town tomorrow. I'm going to try to stream it with GeoForce Now, but I don't want to pay for it. So I hopped in line for the free GeoForce Now streaming of CSGO. I literally was in line for a straight hour, and I went from position 180 to 60.
Seriously? So, like,
I wasn't even close by the time we started this podcast, and I gave up, and I watched a video, and it is shocking how similar it is to Valorant.
Yeah, it looked identical, pretty much. The way that it felt to me
was...
It just
doesn't have powers. Yes. It doesn't have... It's military.
Valorant felt like Overwatch CSGO, is what it felt like to me. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell me about CSGO?
So CSGO, was interesting because I had Chris standing next to me and he like played in a league and was competitive. Like, he had matches every Saturday morning. They would yell at each other. There would be drama. It was actually very interesting for me to hear boy drama for a little bit. So he was standing next to me giving me like tips, which actually made the experience palatable, because the thing that I had heard about CSGO, and if you like read about it online or go through forums, everybody does not want newbies in their competitive matches. Like, they do not want you there. Do not be there.
Is there a non-competitive mode?
There is a like casual mode, and the like forums say play about 300 hours of casual before you step foot into competitive. They take it very, very seriously. CSGO was significantly simpler from a no powers, like it's guns, it's ammo, like flashbangs, basic military weaponry. That's what you've got going for you. And Chris says that you play the same maps very, 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 very frequently. And a lot of the skill set is based on knowing the map so well that you know the exact angles And so what was really fun, having him standing next to me, this dude who's played hundreds and hundreds of hours on this one map, is he was like, purchase a flashbang, purchase that gun, whatever. And then he's like, switch to your flashbang so you run faster. Dash, left, 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 forward, forward, stop. Throw the flashbang, switch to your thing. Okay, now wait, wait, go so that your body is lined up with this side of the wall. Turn a little bit so you can kind of see the crack in the door. Okay, there's a guy. Shoot him. Okay, now that you've shot him, you have to move immediately after you shoot so that you're not a standing target. So you shoot, then dodge and shoot and dodge and shoot and dodge, and then make sure you stay close to the wall. Like, and he was like, okay, you've checked that angle. Check the other angle. Like, it was really fun to see him teach me as I play. It was really fun.
That does sound fun. That does sound fun.
Yeah, like having somebody who actually knew what they were doing and
like teach you and walk you
through. And I had played a match before he got there that I was playing, and I was really kind of frustrated. I was like, this is really hard. I have absolutely no idea how I could ever get good at this game. In Valorant, I played a ton of the practice aim stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see a similar thing. Maybe there was in CSGO and I just didn't notice it. But once Chris got there and he's like a little coach, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm actually having fun now. And so I feel like probably it's the similar thing for Valorant. If you have somebody who knows what they're doing and can help teach you how to do the things you need to do.
So did you feel a little bit more lost with Valorant because you didn't have that?
Yes, I felt more lost with Valorant, but they had a way better tutorial. CSGO's tutorial was like, meh. So I actually wasn't super lost in Valorant. Like, I really wasn't.
Yeah.
The only annoying thing about Valorant was that I had to change my freaking BIOS settings on my computer. I had to go in, I had to turn off a bunch of stuff, I had to change it around because of their, like, cheating software.
Oh.
And it was so annoying. It took me, like, an hour to do.
Whoa.
It was awful.
I remember having to install, like, an intense anti-cheat software in order to play the game.
On Windows 11, they require you to secure boot. And the only way to change secure boot is to F2 your way.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and so you have to change that. But then it turns out that when I made my computer Windows 11, I did it with a weird legacy thing. So instead, I had to turn off some other thing. But it turns out that when you turn off some other thing, Windows won't boot unless you reinstall Windows. And so I had to do all these weird things to work around it.
Oh my gosh,
it's terrible.
That's crazy.
Absolutely terrible.
Honestly, I'm surprised you stuck with it.
The only reason I stuck with it is because, like, we were doing this. At that point, I probably would have just quit. I will say that for pressure alone, would pick Valorant over CSGO, even though the experience was more fun playing CSGO because I had Chris. But Chris also knows how to play Valorant, so he can do that for me and I'd have more fun that way.
Yeah.
But Valorant was way more approachable. I did like the little powers. I played Killjoy, so I got to, like, plant turrets and stuff, so that was fun.
Yeah.
The simplicity of CSGO was nice, but more boring to me.
Yeah. In Valorant, the character that I actually like the best is, like, the guy with the bow.
Oh, the one that was the guy in the tutorial.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I actually ended up really liking him, and I tried other characters, but I ended up liking him the best.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, his felt like the most beginner friendly. And then useful for the team, right? Because you have the arrows that can, like, reveal where the enemies are and stuff. So
totally,
I felt like I could actually, like, contribute. I picked Valorant. I mean, I was trying to, like, look at it from both angles because I didn't play CSGO, so I was gonna go with what you picked either way, but I liked the aesthetic of Valorant better, and I actually like the character powers. Like, I find that that's, like, an interesting aspect to add to it.
Yeah.
So I would go back and play Valorant, but now that I know that CSGO is, like, military Valorant, I don't know if I'm gonna go pick it up.
Yeah. I would say if you really enjoy Valorant and you like the power part, then I just wouldn't do CSGO. Yeah. And it was very intimidating.
If you don't like the power part, then maybe do CSGO.
Yeah,
agree with that. Would maybe be, like, the difference.
Yeah. Totally.
Which is interesting because I felt the opposite with Fortnite versus Apex, where I was like, in Apex, it was too much for me to have, like, the different characters, the different abilities and whatever.
Well, but, like, Valorant and CSGO are so much more strategic. Like, oh my gosh, the strategy that you needed to be successful at these games. Oh my God. Like, props to everybody who spends thousands of hours to be really good at this. And so I could 100% see how in a game that's that strategic, that in CSGO, you'd spend a lot more time, like I was saying, Chris says, studying the angles and like figuring out exactly where to stand. Whereas Valorant does have that little bit of extra of like, okay, how do I tie that into these like skills and abilities, which makes that puzzle and that strategy a little bit more like spicy versus Fortnite and Apex, which is, in my opinion, much less strategy. I mean, there's still strategy in there, but it's not the same as like a CSGO, you know?
Totally. Yeah. All right. Ready for the second round of matchups?
Yes. And I have no idea how we're going to do this. It's going to be impossible.
Valorant as the winner. Okay.
Okay.
So the first second matchup is Fortnite versus Fall Guys. So I feel like maybe what we should do is like count down and at the same time say which one we would play again more. Like, okay. How do you feel
about
that?
Does it just play again, or is there like aspects
no, like, which
that
one
we
is
be
like,
considering?
No. Like, if you were like, gun to your head, pick. That's not a.
Gun to your head, do you like Fall Guys or do you like Fortnite? Tell me. Did you find an 11-year-old with a gun, Maddie? It was like.
So, like, just which one would you. If one of them were to fall off the face of the planet, which one would you be more okay with falling off the face of the planet and, like, never playing again?
Okay. All right.
All right.
What happens when we disagree?
I don't know. Ready?
Three,
two, one.
Fortnite. I'd give it to Fortnite.
Ah! Yay.
I had to stall a little bit because I had to think about it. I'm okay, okay with that. Yeah, I feel good with that.
All right. Phasmophobia and Dota.
Okay.
Ready?
Oh, people are going to hate me for this. Okay, go ahead.
Three, two, one.
I pick Phasmophobia.
Okay! Hey, look at us.
I might feel differently in like, ask me 4 months from now if I've played more Dota and if I feel differently about it. But for now, Phasmophobia was so fun.
Yeah, I agree. Okay. Final Fantasy 14 versus Genshin.
Oh no.
Ready? I can't do this one, actually. I need to concede this one, so it's going to be you.
No. Oh my gosh. I think Final Fantasy is a better game. I give it to Final Fantasy.
All right. Halo versus Valorant.
Okay.
This one's hard for me, actually. 3, 2, 1.
Halo.
Okay.
Halo. Did you say Halo because you thought I would pick Halo?
No. I like, if I was like, what game would I want to play more? It's Halo.
Okay. Halo was the clear win for me. Valorant and CSGO are not my type of game. And I know that it is definitely other people's, but it's not mine.
Ready for the top, like the four, the final four.
Okay.
Okay, ready? Fortnite versus Phasmophobia.
Wait, okay, I'm gonna need 1 second.
We can talk through it if you would like. So, I think I'm gonna go Fortnite on this one, even though I really love Phasmophobia, only because there's something about Fortnite that keeps me going back, like, years now.
Yeah.
So for me, it's Fortnite.
And I mean, like, there's a reason that Fortnite was a phenomena, right? Like, there's a reason for that. I think Phasmophobia would be the kind of game that I would have more high fun with. Because you play that with a group and it has, like, those sparks. But you would never play this by yourself. Whereas I think you could have a lot of fun even playing Fortnite by yourself and enjoying it that way. As well as it being really fun when you play with people. So I would give it to Fortnite.
Fortnite it is. The next one I have to concede again. Final Fantasy 14 and Halo.
Well, how am I supposed to do this? I can't pick this by myself. I think I would have more fun... Oh god.
I would pick Halo, but I've played Halo. So, but I'll give you my opinion having not played Final Fantasy 14 yet.
Okay, give me your not uninformed opinion.
My uninformed opinion is I would go back to Halo more as a live service just because, like, for me in the time of my life that I'm in, like, I just don't have the kind of time that you need to sink into Final Fantasy. 14.
Mm.
And so when I'm like picking the game that I would want to play out of both of these, it would be Halo more so than Final Fantasy for that reason. I think that it depends on the style or like what you're looking for. If you're looking for something that you can sink a lot of hours into, then it would be Final Fantasy, yeah. Right?
I think it also depends too what you're looking to get out of it. Like how you were talking about WoW being probably significantly more fun if you had that group of friends that like vibes with you, yeah, and totally. Plays all the time. Like I assume that that is at that point, like the experience that you're building is the experience based on like the friends that you have and the like fun moments that you get out of playing together. Maybe if it's a tie, then I have to give it to Halo, but I...
If your heart's saying Final Fantasy, let's do Final Fantasy.
No, so, like, the problem is they meet two different needs for me. That's the problem that I'm having right now, Maddie.
That is the problem with this game in general. We are comparing some very different games once we get to the second matchups.
It's true. We did really good with the first matchups, but the second matchups are very difficult. I would say that I will probably play Final Fantasy when I play like with my brother and like those scoped moments with people who want to play. Halo again, I would play by myself. I would play if people wanted to play with me. I would get a lot more longevity out of my play.
Halo.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. But then I think that the winner should be Fortnite on this side.
I agree. Fortnite v. Halo, I think Fortnite's the better game.
Yeah, I think Fortnite's the better game. The problem is I haven't played Halo enough to have the problems that people had with it or to understand what those problems were because the things that I played have been really fun.
I think it's the problems around Halo was actually around like the launch. I think if the game that we played recently was what it was at launch, it would not have the problems it did.
Yeah.
It was that it took so long to add all of those game modes and get to that polish.
Oh, did they not have all those at launch?
Mm-mm.
Oh, okay.
And so I actually, like, going back to it for this podcast was really fun for me because I was like, oh my gosh, like, because I played it a lot at the beginning and I've played it off and on, but I had a lot of fun with it more recently again because they added more game modes and it was more than I had remembered and I was like, oh, I'm having fun with this again. But I will say, like I said, there's something that brings me back to Fortnite over and over again versus Halo I kind of burn out on.
Yeah. Yeah. I like Fortnite winning this area. I think that's right. And it's really hard to do because all of these games are so different.
Yeah. Yeah. It is hard to do. There could have been a lot of different ways to slice it, but this was what we had, like, more fun playing.
Yes. Yeah.
Even though I think there's probably changes that would happen if we played some of these for longer.
Yeah.
Because some of these you just need, it's a skill issue.
Honestly.
And Fortnite is easy to jump into. We won like most of the matches that we played together. It was really fun.
It was very fun.
Yeah.
We still have a whole second half to go.
We have 16 more games to play.
I'm glad that we decided to do this a month before my wedding. That was a really good idea.
Oh my God. You have to play them for less time. You can't be playing something until 3 a.m. in the morning.
I have a problem, but it's fine. Some of them have been really fun, so I just get stuck.
We're going to have an off-topic, on-topic section really quickly.
Yes.
We went to the Stardew Valley Festival of Seasons live symphony concert this past weekend. It was really, really fun. It was really sweet. It's very inspiring, honestly.
It was.
Super cheesy, but it was so inspiring.
It was.
And we are lucky because Concerned Ape lives in the Seattle area, and so he came to the concert, and it was really cool because he gave a little speech about how much this game meant to him and about how surreal and amazing it was to see performers performing his music on instruments. And honestly, I felt like the music was better. Not that it's a comparison, but like it just felt so much different to have actual instruments play the soundtrack.
Yeah.
And I just loved it. I loved it. And I want the game to have the soundtrack music. So I hope they make this an album.
It was so good. I was not sure what to expect because I knew that the music wasn't, you know, originally live played, right? Like, I remember him saying that he made it, right? On like a...
It's like synthesizer. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was beautiful. Talk about beautiful music. Oh my gosh. It was really, really fun. And like you said, it was heartwarming. Every time we had a break and like we walked out, like the only thought on my mind was like, can you imagine being the person who sat there and made this thing? And now you have audiences of people listening to the music that you made. It wasn't even for his game. I mean, it's still for the game, but it's like the music. And man, how cool. How cool for that to be the thing that you created. Oh, it was inspiring.
Yeah, so it really was. It was super cool.
Yeah. And then we had the most awkward moment of our entire life.
So... It was actually happenstance, but we were staying behind after the symphony because my partner was coming to pick me up and Bridget was like, okay, I'll wait with you in here until he gets here. And we were just waiting in the symphony like lobby, and then Concerned Ape comes out.
He comes
and
out.
The like stragglers that were still there lined up to go meet him, and he met every single person because there wasn't very many people left.
Yeah, there was probably what, like 20, 25? Like there was not a lot of people.
20 max, yeah. Honestly, yeah. I think 20 max. So we stood in line and we got to meet him, and we were kind of practicing like what we would say in line to like not be awkward.
Oh.
Because we're also like full grown-ass adult women.
I know.
We are 30-year-old women, and there was people in front of us that were like, I could tell they were like younger and they were really fangirling or fanboying, and that's also cute, but like we're adults, so we can't be up there fangirling. Like that ain't gonna work. So we were like, okay, what do we ask? Like, do we make a joke? What do we do? And then we were also like, we shouldn't take a picture with him, right? Because that feels weird. But then what happened?
Everybody did.
Everybody in front of us took a picture with him because we just kind of thought it would be fun to like meet him and be like, you know, like we really loved the concert. And I was going to make a joke about how his new game, Haunted Chocolatier, is a character named Maddie that kind of looks like me. And so like, I'm in the game. Ha ha. And so we kind of planned this interaction, and then we get up there and he's so awkward, but we're also really
awkward.
And I was like, I don't understand what has happened. And I made my Haunted Chocolatier joke, and he kind of was just like, ha ha, like not really into the joke.
I need you to pause, Maddie, because I actually told this story to Lily today, and I just want you to know that it's probably like it's burned into my memory how funny this was. Maddie was funny. I would like to emphasize for our listeners here that I thought Maddie was hilarious. But when she backed up to be like, I'm dressed like Maddie, she held out her hands and she's like, look, I'm Maddie. Like Maddie.
That was so funny.
But I'm also new, Maddie, and I thought it was funny.
And then she was, you're like, I'm from Seattle, so you're probably inspired by me. And it's ha ha, yeah. And I just, oh man, it was so funny. He was probably like, who the F are these people?
Yeah.
It was wild.
And then he was really nice, honestly. And no, he's like super signed nice. He signed our little booklets, and then
Maddie made fun of my pink overalls, and it was fine.
No, I didn't. I said you dress awesome.
At some point,
I love your pink overalls, and I was like, yeah, like this is actually just what Bridget wears, like on the daily, because you do.
It's true. I think it's sad because waiting in the line, I told Maddie, I was like, I have severe anxiety. You need to be the one to speak things. So like when she's saying words, I'm just standing there. I'm like, that's all. I'm just laughing. I just being a weirdo.
Because everyone is just like taking a photo. The person who was like organizing it was like, all right, photo time. And so we awkwardly like held thumbs up and took a photo with concern 8. So
many thumbs now in that photo. We have
immortalized the awkwardness that was that interaction. But honestly, I think he laughed at the end because we were both kind of like, oh my God, why was that so awkward? And I was like, have a good night. And he was like, have a good night. And it actually ended on a good note, I think. Yeah. But where we were kind of both like laughing about it, but it was just like, why was that such a train wreck? I have no idea.
I literally don't know. And I hope one day, Concerned Ape, you still come on this podcast and we can talk about Haunted Chocolatier when it goes out.
Yeah. Who knows?
And then maybe we won't be awkward the whole time. Or we will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or we will.
Or we will.
Anyways, okay. Thanks, everyone. I have to log off and go pack.
Maddie turns into a pumpkin at 8 p.m.
No, I need a pack, and then I turn into a pumpkin. Thank you for listening to our podcast. If you liked it, don't forget to subscribe and rate it. You can find us on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube at Baddie Breakdowns, and visit our website, baddiebreakdowns.com, made by Bridget. The podcast art was done by Tanisha Vernikar, and the podcast was edited by
me, Bridget, from the future.
And the music made by me. Join us next time to hear us two baddies continue March Madness and do the other half of the March Madness. And then crown the best live service game out there.
Dun, dun, dun.
All right.
All right. See you guys. Thanks, y'all.